Lord, may we hear your voice and know your presence amongst us. May we see you in the breaking of bread this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear friends, the difference between failure and success is so often a matter of perspective, isn't it? As Thomas Edison, that powerhouse American inventor, once put it, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that don't work." Or perhaps we might recall the words of Vince Lombardi, that indomitable football coach who once put it, "We didn't lose the game, we just ran out of time." How different it was for those disciples. The crucifixion was no mere setback for their cause. It was no incidental accident that would be overcome quickly. For the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the difference between failure and success is enormous. It is as wide as the ocean. This morning, I'd like to explore this resurrection story and to consider what it might mean for our journey of discipleship. Because so often in our journey, we experience disappointment too, and we struggle to believe that good things can come from bad experiences. But first, let's recap what happened that day. For those walking the lonely road to Emmaus, it was as grim and as depressing a journey as ever taken. Two friends are walking, and they are talking about all that had happened in the previous days, when they are joined unexpectedly by a stranger. They are surprised at this stranger's ignorance, and they wonder where on earth he could have been to have missed the whole uproar in Jerusalem. They fill in their new companion. But what they don't say is almost as important as what they do say. They don't say anything about their own feelings. That is obvious. Nor do they say anything about how on earth are they going to get into heaven now that their Saviour is dead. The only thing they could see was this gap between failure and success. And so they tell this naive fellow about Jesus, a prophet who was mighty in deed and word. This guy for them was the real deal. He was doing only what God could do, healing people from a lifetime of pain and suffering, casting out evil, and boy, could he teach. Well, everyone else just seemed like, well, just vinegar by comparison. But rather than recognizing this Jesus as God's prophet, the authorities condemned him and had him executed. Just how wide was this gap? What they describe was no run-of-the-mill prophet, but someone they considered to be Moses' equal. Listen to what they had to say. "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." They had expected Jesus to set the nation free. They had expected him to do what Moses had done, to vanquish God's opponents, to overcome every dark spiritual power, and to lead the people in a new direction. So how wide was this gap? Well, they had heard from the women who checked on the tomb, the women who had had a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. But when their best men went to check out the tomb, nothing was there. And so here they are, walking away. Everything in their demeanor suggests utter defeat. After all, They could not protect their leader. Well, they couldn't even keep his corpse safe. If we're honest, it's a familiar journey. Many of us, I'm sure, have walked this road too. Things with Jesus so often start off exciting and anything seems possible. But as things happen, so much seems to go awry. Hard times come, disasters happen, and everything seems to fall apart. We hear others tell amazing stories of faith and our hope goes up, but when we go to look for ourselves, nothing seems to be there. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. He was the one we hoped for. Dot, dot, dot. Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his disappearance heaped shame upon shame. Not just a little embarrassment, but diminishment to the point of leaving town and never coming back. How could anything good come from this disastrous eventuality? How often do we feel and sense this shame? When someone's at their end of their rope and all we seem to have is a story about a guy who was crucified. When people are losing their jobs, their homes and all that's important to them, all we seem to have is a story of an empty tomb and the word of an angel. But this stranger who seems to know nothing of what happened now fills them in and something remarkable begins to unfold. By starting with Moses and working through the prophets, this stranger tells the disciples about how and why it was necessary for Jesus to undergo these things before receiving glory. And as they walk and talk, they are the ones who begin to change. This change could only be noticed with hindsight. Cold hearts began to be rekindled. Dashed hopes started to burn bright once more. And when they pressed this stranger to stay, to receive their hospitality, what began with shame and disappointment begins to flow into friendship and hospitality. Their generosity gives way to something unexpected. For rather than sharing their meal with a stranger, the stranger becomes the host and they discover a long-lost friend. He takes the bread, he blesses, breaks, and shares it with them. And their eyes are opened. They recognize him, but he vanishes from their sight. Their eyes were opened. I wonder, when was the last time we heard those words? You might recall these words being uttered by the snake in the garden from chapter 3 in Genesis, who promised Eve that their eyes would be opened, that they would be like God, capable of distinguishing between good and evil if only they ate of the fruit. But what happened? They saw reality all right, but all they could see was their own failure. All they could see was shame and defeat, their own finitude and limitations, and just how barren they were. And it was just unbearable for them. They went and hid. But here at the table, no such promises are given. They simply need to receive the bread. And their eyes are open too. But what looked like a total cluster catastrophe was actually the way to victory. What they saw was not their shame, but Jesus' success. What they saw was not embarrassment, but glory. What they saw was the majesty of the servant king. For with Jesus sitting before them, it meant that he did exactly what he said he would do. The authorities had lost. Dark spiritual forces had been overcome. This could mean only one thing. Israel was redeemed. So rather than hide, they run to be found. Where they could only see defeat, Jesus saw them. He walked with them. He stayed with them. He shared a meal with them. His resurrection was bigger than their limited vision and their clouded circumstances. And once they saw the risen Jesus, they dropped everything and rushed back to Jerusalem to tell everyone. And what did the disciples say when these two rushed in with such exciting news? "We know, we've seen him too." So often we only have eyes for our own circumstances, whether we are ahead or behind. We hear stories from others about faith and hope and love, and we find it so hard to believe ourselves. So often all we can see is our own shame. So often all we can see is the weakness of the cross or the inadequacy of the church, or the brokenness of our world. The hard reality of Emmaus is that we so often need to take this walk for ourselves. For it is only when we struggle that we become attentive to the voice of the stranger who it seems has always been there. A voice who prompts us to hope. A voice who encourages us to love. A voice that urges us to believe just a little bit longer. And so, while it is tempting to let that voice keep walking, this voice never gives up. All we need to do is to invite that voice to share a meal with us, to break bread and eat in friendship together. God is not afraid of a little embarrassment. In fact, God's love for humanity is just utterly shameless. For by embracing weakness, Jesus broke the power of darkness and death so that all people might be set free. Free to believe, free to hope, and most wonderful of all, free to love. The road to Emmaus is a journey that we all share. A journey where an unseen voice of a stranger becomes the friend who has always been with us. Jesus is the one who enters our hearts and our lives and changes everything. My hope and prayer this day and for this whole season of Easter is that it might be a time when you rediscover the voice of that friend. That voice of a stranger might become the person of Jesus, who sits before you as host and invites you to share his meal with you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Son, that he embraced the world's shame and brought life eternal from the darkest of situations. That what seemed like failure was his success. Lord, speak through our failures that we might know the presence of the risen one who loves us not in spite of those difficulties, but through them, and to know his glory as the one who reached out and saved us all. Amen.